Once again, good evening, and let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. I will begin reading in verses 13. Okay, 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he had given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess, and that's our topic tonight, what does it mean to confess? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed and loved that God hath the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Well, last Wednesday evening when we met, we tackled verses 13, and we were highlighting some of the important ministries or the relationship of God's Spirit to God's people. And we saw that the Spirit of God is the one who gives life-quickening ability. The Spirit of God is the one who leads and guides into the truth. God's Spirit is he who illuminates, he makes clear the Scriptures to the heart and the mind and the understanding of the believer. And then we also saw that the Holy Spirit is the one who directs the Christian. We saw how Paul and his fellow cohorts were going in one particular direction in Asia Minor, and God simply, for whatever reason, and it doesn't really explain it, but God puts a few roadblocks up, and eventually he moves Paul to go across a body of water and bring the gospel to the European continent. And the Bible specifically tells you the Spirit of God forbade Paul, at least on two occasions. He was trying to go to the north and to the east in Asia Minor, and God's plans were to go to the west. Well, tonight I call your attention to verse 14 and 15. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So here in verses 14, we have a bold statement. This is a declaration. We have seen and do testify. Here the Apostle John, using the pronoun we, and we have seen, I believe he's including the apostolic band and those people who were very familiar and were contemporaries with the Apostle John through the ministry of Jesus Christ, to include the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection, and the post-resurrection appearances during those 40 days that Luke tells us there in the book of Acts. So John says, we have seen and do testify. So this is the church, like ourselves. This is the church making a testimony. They are testifying. And what is the testimony of the church to a lost and dying world? That the Father has sent the Son to be the deliverer, or the Savior, or the rescuer of the world. Beloved, that is the testimony of the church, and that is part of the gospel message that we are to share to a lost and dying world. And that is a message that the Church of Jesus Christ is to continually emphasize to its membership. in any shape or form, whether by type or shadow, by illustration, by precept, or by just simply pouring through the Gospels themselves, the four Gospels. The church is to testify. That is our message. That is the central nugget of gospel preaching. That God the Father has sent God the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, when that message is proclaimed, I want you to think of this in the context of carnal Christian position. When that gospel or when that testimony is testified and proclaimed, there's going to be a response. At least two responses. Because we know that there's no middle ground. Middle ground position, like with Elijah and the hesitant people on Mount Carmel, their hesitation to acknowledge Elijah's challenge, you know, whether God be God or Baal be God, indecisiveness is a no. That's a vote cast against God. Indecisiveness. So there's going to be two types of responses from the world and two types of responses from the professing Christian. They're either going to accept it or they're going to deny it. If they accept it or whether they deny it, watch this. Something is going to come out of their mouth by way of a confession. Are you following now? They hear the gospel, and the gospel is the fact that God the Father has sent God the Son to be the deliverer and the rescuer and the Savior of the world. Boom. There's the message. Response time. Do I believe it or do I not believe it? And whether I believe it or if I don't believe it, something inevitably is going to come out of my mouth to testify either way. Look at verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, somewhat of an amplification of verse 14, it's adding a little bit more meat to that message. Not only is Jesus sent, not only did the Father send Jesus, not only is Jesus the Savior of the world, this same Jesus who was sent and died and was buried and rose again is none other than the Son of God. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, get this, God dwelleth in him, number one, and number two, he as well dwells in God. So have I kind of tantalized your appetite on the word confession here? What does it mean to confess? Okay? We'll do a little quick word study, and then we're going to look at some verses before we close. The word confess that is found here in verses 15 comes from two Greek words put together. And that Greek word is the word, listen carefully, homologeo. Homologeo. H-O-M-O, homo. And logeo, L-O-G-E-O. Two words in the Greek. The word homo means literally to be the same or the same. And the word logeo means to speak. You may be quite familiar with this. Listen carefully. In the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was with God. And the Logos was God. The word logos, means word, or the expression of God, God's voice, God's word. Well, the word logeo is a derivative of the word logos, which we get our word, found in John 1:1 and 1:14. So you put those two definitions together, and this is what you get. To confess means to speak the same thing. It means to give an assent. It means to agree with. It means to declare. And it means to admit. I'll give you for instance. We've often heard that verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess. And in most circles today, people think that a confession is simply asking God to forgive me. That is not what the word confession or confess means. It doesn't mean to ask for forgiveness. When it says, if we confess our sins, it's the same Greek word, homologeo. It simply means that when you do go to God, when you have done sin, you are simply acknowledging or you're saying the same thing that what I've done in the eyes of God is sin. It doesn't mean to ask for forgiveness in the Greek. When we confess our sins, we are basically admitting or we're basically agreeing with God that according to what God's Word says, what I've just done or what I've just said or the manner in which I've done it or the manner in which I've said it is sin in God's eyes. That's what it means to confess. It doesn't mean to say, Lord, I'm sorry because I've sinned. It means to agree with God that what I've done is sin. Listen to these, and we won't turn because of our time, but listen to these other verses. I'm going to give them to you. And I'm going to also show you how the same word in the English translation has been translated from the same Greek word. In Matthew 7:23, this same word has been translated, will profess. Will profess. In Matthew 14:7, it is translated to promise. To promise. In Romans 10:10, we'll see that tonight, it is translated confession. Now stop and think. A few months ago, we as a congregation hammered out a what? Constitution. And then we agreed to what? A book that we called a what? A confession. That confession is not us apologizing to the world for sin. But that confession is a statement that says, we all agree, we all admit the same thing. The same thing to what? The confession, if I was holding it up, this is a statement of what we corporately agree to believe. That's a confession. Something that is agreed to. Something that is admitted. Something that we promise to keep and maintain. And listen to this one. I found this interesting. In Hebrews 13:15, homologeo is translated giving thanks. Giving thanks. So, the translators took that same word and based on the meaning and the shade and the use of the word, they translated it in these other forms or shades. Well, what does it mean then to confess? Listen to this. And I want you to put this in your hat in light of carnal Christian. Quote, to declare openly by way of speaking out freely, such confession being the effect of a deep conviction. I'll say it again. To confess means that the Christian or the professing Christian declares openly, not in secret. You kind of get an idea where we're going to go on this carnal Christian position? To declare openly by way of speaking out freely, meaning there's no gun. He's not threatened. You don't have to badger him to do this. You don't have to prod him. You don't have to do good things to convince him that he has to do this. He does it freely. And he does it with such a confession. He does it with conviction that what he is saying is the truth. Now, Here's Mr. Carnal Christian sitting on the couch. This man professes to be a Christian. This man has walked an aisle, raised a hand, shake the preacher's hand. He's gone through a mumbo-jumbo ceremony, whatever you want to call it. Some other gospel minister or some other older Christian has walked him through whatever little scheme he had to lead him to Christ. And then they pronounce him saved, and they give him a false assurance because he's made a certain profession or he's done a certain formula. And they bless him as a Christian, and off he or she goes. And then in time, that professing Christian has no desire to openly speak out for Christ. There's no conviction in his life or her life that the Bible is true, that Christ is true. And if I go back to the context, he has no conviction that the Father has sent the Son. He is not truly convinced of that because he's not telling anybody else. He is not convinced that Jesus is the Savior of the world because he doesn't even share it, proclaim it, speak it, support it, support those who support it. And he doesn't even go around with his lips in the right time and in the right place declaring that Jesus is the Son of God. But there he is, in most circles today, on his way to heaven, because he's done the formula. Walked the aisle, raised a hand, said the sinner's prayer, and somebody has blessed that person and pronounced him saved. But they have no desire to share the gospel or to make a confession that they are in agreement to what God's Word says about Jesus Christ. They are not in agreement that the Father has sent the Son. They're not in agreement that Jesus is the blessed Son of God. They're not in agreement. They do not admit it. There is no passion. There is no conviction.